you know, for the guys that volunteer and do this, you know, nobody gets paid from search and rescue. And they're all volunteers, and they have my highest praise. I was fortunate I was able to be a part of this outstanding group of people that give up their, you know, sometimes they take off from work, you know, to go out and go look for people. And, you know, they have a lot of things to do at home, and they'll drop everything, and then they'll get on their snow machine in severe cold, because most times when somebody needs a rescue, it's not a beautiful day. Most times it's severe cold or blowing snow or extreme weather, and then yet these people will get out there and put others first, in you know, and then bring people back, you know. So these, you know, we have a good group of people that are helping us out.
And we've been out on every single holiday.
Wow.
Everyone.
Pertinent, because Christmas is soon, next week.
I just wanted to point out, too, that since the traffic's been flowing and the increase of intoxicated people traveling to and from the villages, the death number is up to 8, I think, or near there, of young people traveling to and from the villages not prepared. We're going to have to ask the communities to help step up and help out the Bethel guys in the villages, because they're getting burned out. If you keep doing it enough, it affects you mentally and physically. If the tribal councils or city councils in the surrounding villages can help out the Bethel guys, that would be really appreciated. And I don't want to change the topic a little bit, but I wanted to bring electronics in. I got to thank GCI for the cell phones, because with the cell phones, they've also helped save lives out here and help try to locate people. There's technology out there now that can track you. We're introducing the InReach program to some of the Bethel folks. It's InReach is a satellite signal device where you can text, or if you're in trouble, it'll satellite signal and back, and it'll whoever you select as your, I want to say, savior, in minutes, you can notify somebody that you're in trouble. There's the EPIRB that are out there, the ELTs that can, your personal locator beacons that you can use if you're in trouble. There's some that for land use and ocean use out there. So there's ways of, other ways and means of, you can utilize to send help.
And really quick, I know we're running low on time.
Could I?
Yeah, of course.
I'm glad Earl brought this up, because it needs to be said. You know, people only hear of the big searches. What they don't hear about is the dozens and dozens of middle-of-the-night searches that Bethel Search and Rescue does, and it's pretty near all for intoxicated people. And when the liquor store opened, we had a big internal discussion at BSAR, and we all agreed, doesn't matter if they're drunk or sober, they're still a human being, they still have families, people that love and care for them, and we're going to go get them. But it's getting tiring.
I bet. And, you know, the call to more volunteers is, you know, now more than ever. We did get in a little message from Wilson Twitchell, who asked us to just briefly touch on trip plans.
That's a good man, that Wilson.
He said, can the panel mention filling a trip plan every time? He also just mentioned, and I think this would be for volunteers marking holes, to tie a piece of 20-foot rope to your waist, drag it behind when marking thin ice areas, just in case you fall in. Just wanted to make sure his little message was shared. But, yeah, trip plans.
That's a number. It's high on the priority list. I always tell somebody where to go, whether it's your family member or the search and rescue guys or the Alaska State Troopers or your local police department. They've actually got forms, trip plan forms, you can get at the state troopers. I don't know if the Bethel guys got some, but they're similar. But it's always tell somebody where you're going. And when you're going to come back, if you're not, then there's other steps and people in, to go out and go try to look for you. So there is a trip plan out there. You look at the state trooper plan. It's basic, where you're going, when you're going to come back, and who to notify. Very easy. You can tell that to your family members, if your wife's there. And the number one worry, it's your family, your spouse. They worry. And sometimes we tend to, men seem to think we're macho, but we're not so macho when we're in trouble. But it's the lady that's at home or the person, you know, they're going to make that call and say, hey, my husband's not home. Call the state troopers, call the Bethel Citizen Rescue guys. Thanks, Mr. Twitchell, for that reminder.
Yep, I learned that the hard way when I was a teenager. I used to come and go and never tell my family nothing. One time I flipped my boat over up the Aniak River, and I was stuck up there for a week. Nobody was worried about me. Only my oppa, he kept telling my family, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. Nah, he's always like that. They finally, a helicopter found me, and National Guard took me home.
Just a note, too, it's always good to travel in a pair. If you're alone, just like Mark was saying. But if there's two of you or three of you traveling together, that would be good. And the sat phones are out there. You can use it. They're expensive, but their spot is out there, too. These are just signal devices that can help you out.
With the cell phones now, you know, we all keep track of each other. Even yesterday there was people going to Tuluksac, and they text me when they reach here and there, and I do the same when I'm traveling. I text people. I reach this place a little while later, an hour later, text them, I reach this place.
I was going to ask Mark, if you don't mind, if our survival bag, what would you put in there? And then how about for just general things that you would carry along with you when you're out snow machine? And one more thing I wanted to, there's people out there, a lot of people out there that don't know how they can use their phone to do a distress 911. Is there such a thing on these phones that people carry nowadays? But I'm interested in that survival bag, because I know I've heard you talk about it before, and I was there interesting object or stuff you can put in your backpack as a survival.
Well, yeah. I always have fun showing what's in my bag. You wouldn't believe it. But I make sure on my body, I always carry what I need to survive, which is a lighter and a, nowadays we have Leatherman, used to be pocket knife. But if you have those two things, you can survive. If you carry everything that I got in my bag, you could live like a king. You wouldn't want to carry everything that I carry. But some of the basic things, I mentioned extra gloves and socks, and something to signal with would be good. Food. Bring native food. If you want to stay warm in this country, eat what the people eat. No offense, but one time we did a class with the troopers at the college survival, and they had a little tiny can of some kind of powder. Everything you need to live for a week. I took out my dry fish and said, everything you need to live for a month. No, the people know what to eat. It keeps them warm and gives them energy. What else?
Just going to point out is you want to think about, we went out on the other, we went to mark those holes the other day, and I just sat there and thought, what am I going to take as well? I'm going to take extra food and extra gloves, because we're going to get wet. And my father-in-law always told me, if you're going to travel distance, bring an ice pick, shovel, axe, and a tarp. And something to keep you warm, like a warm hot water in a thermos. He'd say, wrap it up.
Or a gynic to make something.
Yeah, something like that, extra source. And they used to have old-time camp stoves all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so those are the basic ones that some of our old timers used to tell us to bring, and the rain gear, because you never know, especially now, mm-hmm. you never know what the weather's going to do 24 hours from now. If you do get stranded out there, it could be cold one day, and the next day it's going to be 30 degrees. Yeah. So it's just some of the old-time knowledge.
So I carry a roll of trash bags in my backpack for that purpose.
Yeah.
Emergency rain gear, hip boots, whatever.
So going back to that backpack, that's what's going to be on you, is what's going to keep you alive. So if you think about it, if I get cold, my son went on a search last year. Several people traveling between Cuitzlic and Bethel heard they were wet. And what I gave him was a little container of stove oil. I'm thinking, is this time of year? You're not going to start a fire.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, here, take this with you. And that was that heat source, the stove oil that's just going to put on the wood to burn. He ended up utilizing it. The guys were soaking wet, gathered wood. This time of year, you can see everything's frosted over and snowed, but they were able to get enough wood and throw that stove oil on there just to get the fire going. He actually saved those people's lives using that stove oil.
Yeah, oh, that's a good one right there. I mean, we have weather sometimes where it's hard to make a fire in the woods, you know, everything wet, you know. I used to see some of them old guys in Kalkak do that, carry a little bottle of stove oil with rags.
So this helpful hint. When you put it in your backpack, though, you got to keep it separate. But the backpack, don't have to take fire starter, fluids, like water, extra food. We mentioned that. The fire starter, the flint starter, there's magnesium starters if you can't. The waterproof matches, you can keep them dry. The Bic lighter, I try to carry in that, because you got to have several different sources of fire. Some people use that steel wool, too. That burns real easy. Just a spark will get that going.
Mm-hmm.
Extra gloves, extra socks. You got to think about what you're going to do when your feet get wet. The bunny boots, you could take them out and wring them out and put, it'll keep you going. The sorrels, you got the big shoe pack, wool packs. You could take those and wring those out. Stick them back in there. You won't have no alternative. It'll help. Goggles, snow machine goggles.
Flashlight.
Compass,
yeah.
Just a little note on the compass, too, because this put people in trouble.
Uh-huh.
Is if you're using a compass, keep your rifle in the back of you somewhere, not in front by the compass, because the compass will detect and be not accurate. It's going to send you off 90 degrees from where you're at.
Even your snow machine engine affects it. You have to keep it away a little bit.
So if you're traveling using a compass, stay away from metal. Peter?
Different forms of signaling, what Earl and Mark had mentioned, but there's one thing that people don't realize also, some of them when they're in distress, it's hard to think clearly, but even if your snow machine ran out of fuel, when you pull at it, the lights will flicker, or the headlights will turn on and flicker. So and also we had one guy one time that had a flashlight, but we thought he was just a regular guy, taking a walk out there in the wild with a flashlight. What he was trying to do was signal to us, to us it was just somebody with a flashlight. He said his hands were so frozen he couldn't turn it on and off to signal us, And then we talked about it and says, you could have put your hand in front of your flashlight, and then do those three dots, for distress, universal distress signal, so that's another way, but when you think about it, there's different ways of signaling, like a mirror, during the daytime, and even those goggles will, if there's a little bit of sunlight, out there, can glare, to a passerby or on airplanes, and then sticks, that you could put on top of the snow can be seen from the air. And then even if you're walking, if you can just put an arrow or something to indicate that you are in distress, you know, then somebody will pick that up and follow your tracks, you know. But there's, you know, there's just, if you keep talking about it, you know, there's different ways to that you can be seen if you're in distress out there.
If you're at the tree line, you could use that brush, find a like a lake or something, you could put brush on the lake, SOS. And you could also, if you're in deep snow, you could stomp it out in the, from the air, you could actually see the shadow of the SOS within where you stomped out. So it might be a little hard, but you can, using the sun and the, how you're flying an airplane, you could actually pick out those, and I've done that. On the beach, you could use logs. So there's many ways of letting people know that you're in trouble.
Mark, you had mentioned a little bit of the outreach kind of stuff that BSAR does. Was there any type of, like, safety class coming up or that exists?
I wish Perry was here. He's the safety officer at LKSD now, one of our members, and he mentioned a survival class they have up there, and we were talking about getting BSAR up into school to talk. And, so, yeah, I would watch out for that.
Mm-hmm.
Before we finish, I wanted to go back to the compass real quick because most of our phones nowadays have a compass on them. I'm looking at mine right now. And you don't have to have cell service to use the compass. And at the bottom, it shows your position lat long. So if you get in a bind, pull that compass out and let us know where you are. Thanks.
Awesome. Are there any last words, last tips, last warnings to share with our listeners?
I wanted to say that now that, you know, a lot of people are traveling long distances now, and to please stay on the Mark trails. Mm-hmm. The ice is not, it's so unpredictable right now, and with the upriver holes, I mean, you could go drift netting in those holes right now. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of worried about someone falling in those right now, but if you're out there, please stay on the well-used trails right now. Don't wander off, because you could get into trouble, especially upriver right now. The Cusacquaq River is so dangerous right now. So I'd say stay on the trail right now.
Yes, there's so much to say, you know, and we could be here for a lot longer and still not cover the subjects, you know, of being safe out there. You know, but we need to be vigilant, you know, during these times, you know, and urging our young people, especially, you know, the older folks, you know, they're wise. Some of them are wise, you know, and then we don't worry about them as much as we do the younger ones, you know. So, you know, I always talk to your young ones, even in school, you know, if you're in your schools, they need those kind of classes, you know. Some of them, you know, they will save lives, you know. So, and then to have, and, you know, more than ever now, I think our search and rescue groups throughout the Delta, you know, need your support more than ever because of, you know, such high cost of everything now to be able to get out, effectively go out and to bring people back, you know, and then when you need them, you know, they will be there and ready to go out and help out and bring in your loved ones back, you know. But it costs finances to be able to operate search and rescue groups, you know. And that the state troopers were also grateful that they do help out, you know, with financing a lot of our search and rescue missions, you know. But still, every search and rescue group need equipment, you know, to be able to go out effectively to bring, you know, to go out and search for people and bring them back. So in short, you know, that's we're calling out for help from whoever can spare whatever they can to help support your local search and rescue groups. I know we're running really close to out of time.
How do they get in contact if someone can volunteer or help out in any way?
If you're not unsure of your search and rescue group, you know, then usually your tribal council, you know, will know who is the search and rescue head in your village, you know. And for Bethel, you know, of course, you know, Bethel is where the group here is very effective, you know, and then, you know, so So, you know, don't use that for an excuse to not to give if you can.
I believe it's 543 lost, or 545. Yeah.
Oh, help. I forgot. What
help.
Is it, Mark?
545 help.
545 oh, yeah. help. Help. So if you do want to report a missing or overdue person, of course you can call 911 or that 545 help number, and that's also 545-4357. That is how you would get a hold of Bethel Search and Rescue. We are running pretty short on time, but first and foremost, I want to thank you all so much for what you do generally. Also for coming in here and sharing all these valuable tips. But thank you so much for all of the late nights and the holidays and all of the things that get unrecognized. And, you know, to all of our listeners, if you can volunteer, if you can help in any way, please do that for our BSAR. They could sure use it. And what a great asset to the community they are. Thank you so much. Yeah.
You know, we're not heroes. We're just a reflection of the region we live in, where people watch out for each other and take care of each other. And in the conditions we're having this winter, we need to really watch out for each other. Take the time to stop and check on people. And if you're one of the guys that makes a trail, make sure you make a good trail for the people that are going to follow you.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you all so much. And I believe we have news coming up.